catch you outside the Nike store in Oxford Street of him. He is a living god. He is golden balls. He retired the day the sun moved into Gemini, which I thought was quite symbolic. Another famous celebrity of ours in recent news has also done something really interesting, and that's Angelina Jolie. Last week, she was on the front of every newspaper saying that she's going to cut her breasts off because she's got cancer. But Angelina Jolie has been going to Syria as of late, since September last year, to diplomatic talks, peace treaties, whatever. At first, you know, I question why a celebrity is getting involved in this way, but this is where it is a little bit interesting. In the subconscious, as a collective, we see Angelina Jolie as a warrioress. And she has done films such as Tomb Raider, Gone in 60 Seconds, etc. She's done a lot of action movies. In ancient times, in ancient Greece, the Greeks used to speak of the Amazonians. They were warrior women from the Ukraine kind of area. A mazon in ancient Greek means with no breasts. Isn't that amazing? The women would cut their breasts off so that they can throw javelins better in war. So I relate the Amazonians with the ancient Scythians, respectively, so the Nordic Germanic descent. Angelina Jolie's father, Johnny Voigt, he's German. Why do the celebrities walk down the red carpet? Only royals have red carpets. Well, America have no royalty. So they have celebrities walk down the red carpet. Well, the Americans do. The US was colonized by Europeans. You know, you look at kind of logical business, you know, you got to have money to make money. So when America was colonized, it was invested by those who had the wealth. Who had the wealth? Aristocrats. They created Hollywood, in essence. They walked down the red carpet. So do the presidents. Whoever walks down the red carpet is privileged with inheritance, private education, just a different lifestyle altogether. Private education means secret education, in a way. So those with the blood have been taught things that those without the blood wouldn't really be taught. So whoever walks down the red carpet has this kind of wizard blood like they have in Harry Potter. The celebrity worship is a cult in modern day. It mimics the ancient stellar religion of Egypt. So in the past, we looked up into the the starry sky and told stories of legends and heroes. Nowadays, it's much the same. We watch the movie screens on the TV. It's kind of weirdly like the Eye of God, because it's like worlds within worlds in the like, moving pictures like that. And also all the trashy magazines you want to put your head in. All talking about celebrities. It seems like there's been a fall from grace since the ancient Egyptian gods and goddesses. Where is there? I can see on our newspapers, you know, where the evil sorcerer Murdoch is cleverly had a little word plays. With the Sun, it's quite obvious. It's the Sun. The Daily Star, well, that's a star. The Mirror is the moon. Esoterically, the moon is the reflector of the soul. And the Times is Saturn. And, you know, time, chronos, Saturn. So these aristocrats that have created all this for us, what is the divine right to rule? The honorary rights of kings. Where did that tradition come from? The rulers are very religious, specifically to the Abrahamic religion. The kings claim to have divine blood, the Davidic bloodline. They believe they have the blood of Jehovah. It's good to point out, to be Grand Master Mason of the Grand Lodge, you have to have a lot of royal blood. You need to be a prince. Prince Michael of Kent is the Grand Master currently. You have to be a majesty. The Magi Star. Royalty has always dictated reality. It's their job. They are keepers of the ancient knowledge. The royals claim descent from the angels. Well, even if you look at the Queen of England, or even the name England, the Anglo from, you know, East Germany, the Anglo-Saxon. But the Saxon is Scythian. So is, you know, America. America's Anglican. But there's many, like, biblical sort of references in modern day, such as, like, CNN News. And that's Canaan. And, you know, so CNN is American news. Well, we know that CNN is phony. So phony CNN American news. Or Phoenician, Canaanite, Aramaic news. Canaanite spoke Aramaic. But America, so the royals believe in the Bible. Underneath the coronation of throne, is the Jacob Stone in Westminster. They really are into it. They really are into the Bible, if you can Adam and Eve it. Adam and Eve had children. Cain killed Abel. But they had a third son called Seth. Cain went built a city called Nod with his wife in the wilderness. And Seth also did something kind of similar. But Seth are the Scythians. And Cain is obviously the Canaanites. And, you know, the Scythians, they migrated up to Scotland. Well, yeah, Scandinavia up there. Scotland, because it's Scotia. Scythia, Scotia. The Canaanites went more Mediterranean up. Around the continent, and so these ancient brotherhoods have never forgotten their ancient beginnings. They have kept this tradition of the divine blood line to rule for thousands of years. So back to modern day, to see the royalty, the share and influence on the creation of culture, coincidence of the coronation of the birth of TV and the coronation of the Queen and the birth of TV in the UK. But the Queen really didn't like something you'd know about it. You know, she'd detain you at her own pleasure if something was out of fashion, if you know what I mean. For example, the Occupy London was outside St. Paul's. She allowed that to happen. Of course, finitely, because she needed to use the cathedral later on in the summer for her jubilee. She's not going to walk through any tents. Another example, this is an interesting example of how the Queen is culturally influenced us. Is Britain's Got Talent. Now, we all know that the winners perform in front of the Queen at the Royal Variety Show. So, you know, what if the Queen was quite medieval about it and just went, oh, find me the most talented people in the country and get them to perform in front of me? But in reality, that is what happens, though. You know, they perform in front of her at the Royal Variety Show. And she was the luckiest one, you know, having that dance team dance in front of her. Yeah. But I'm saying that the Order of the Garter and the Masons have created all the performance on planet Earth. It's all been by design. The Masons are very proud of their work. They're chuffed. It's a masterpiece. They've created a magical mystery for everybody. They've given us our villains and our heroes. Modern day is the end of the Pisces era. This is Revelations. We're all revealing the creators of the game. Newton was right. This life is a giant riddle made by God, and to fall in love with learning is key to finding out the mystery. But this modern day we find ourselves in the Aeon of Horus. And this has been staged. It is a pantomime being played before us. You know, balloons and glitter fall from the sky. You know, Obama is president. But yeah, like Heinrich Himmler's father was, it's a funny fact, Heinrich Himmler's father was the tutor to the Bavarian princes. Himmler had the education of a Bavarian prince. Another crazy fact, Jeremy Kyle's dad was the secretary to the Queen's mum. So when the Queen is watching TV, she can say, ooh, you know, who isn't that? Mummy's secretary's little boy. but with Nazis, I found it interesting in German mythology. They talk of light elves, and they explain that the light elves, they're very fair in complexion, blonde, blue eyes, quite tall. The dark elves were obviously darker. But I found interest with the light elves, and I wanted to find out the root word. So I went to the Icelandic, because it's the oldest of Nordic languages, and translated in Icelandic, light elves is Ljósálfar. Which I thought was really interesting. Did Hitler really want to save all the Aryans because he thought that they were all elves? But yeah, I really want to bring up to Brian Starlin. Has anyone ever heard of Brian Starlin? If you haven't, Google him. Brian Starlin blogspot.com or something, but if you Google it, you'll find it. He's the leading researchers in past life regression, and you know, on his blog, he's explained himself really well. There's lots of photos. It's really fun. It's harmless fun, but you know, he makes some staggering observations, and I'm really interested in his thesis. His thesis is that the royals and the elite, the people that have always been in power, when they die, they reincarnate back into those positions of power. For example, Tony Blair was George the Fourth. Or Heinrich Himmler was Prince Albert. But when he looks at the photos, and you look at the photos and compare them, it's really fun. Another one was Paul McCartney was Buffalo Bill. But like, I don't want to ruin the magic, because there's loads of them, and it is quite fun. The one for Keanu Reeves is really scary. It's amazing. It's like, wow. Like, yeah. Another interesting one was J.K. Rowling. In a past life, she was Augusta Victoria of Schleswig-Holstein. She was the wife of William II of Germany. So, you know, reincarnation is fact, and this guy is right, then, yeah, it's plausible, you know. Like the Game Masters, you know, like they're the Game Masters, and they're on like soul contracts, and they just come back just to follow on this like soul work they have to do, you know. That's why the Mason is a secret, because, you know, you're a Mason and one life you come back and you go back to those positions again and fulfill the soul work. Yeah, bizarrely, I always saw Patrick Moore, the astrologer, as if anyone's seen the Games Master, that 80s program about computer games, if no one's seen it, then I just sound really quirky here, but Sir Patrick Moore, the astronomer, the guy that wears the monocle, and he used to do a computer games show, and he was the Games Master. I just love the connections with him being like Lord of the Planets, because he's a sir and an astronomer, but he's also doing this computer game program. But I think this is all just for the subconscious, you know. These ruling classes are behind all broadcasting corporations. And to really have a Hogwarts education, you must study Shakespeare and the classics, Latin and Greek. You would have been heavily influenced if you were born within a family with the right kind of blood, you know, giving you a privileged secret memberships club where you can learn all the stuff that non-member people don't. Yeah, but that's the magic of planet Earth, because I feel magic only works if it's kept secret, because if it's made secret, it's not magic anymore, it's just normal. Because, you know, majesty means like superior, like beyond normal. You know, same with supernatural, that's beyond, you know, the comprehension of modern science. But, you know, where science finds itself, forever confronting the mystery, they're forever falling into the mystery, they're forever trying to solve the mystery. So, the more they explain of the mystery, the more there will be less supernatural, and all this supernatural stuff will just become natural or normal. You know, paranormal will just become normal. So, Shakespeare, the time Shakespeare was created, the late Tudor dynasty, you know, was the same time that British intelligence was created. Secret British intelligence. The Tudor dynasty symbol, the red rose, is the one we still have today. Red Rose of Lancashire. Henry VII, Welsh by blood, he had the blood of the Britons, he had the Davidic right of kings. He was the last monarch to win the crown on battlefield against the Plantagenet French Richard III. But recently, when they found Richard III, the car park in February, they realised that he was a hunchback. That he wasn't a well man. He wasn't strong. He wasn't well. And I have no idea why you would send a unwell king into war. You know, why would you send a cripple into war? You know that the bets are quite high. Has anyone heard of the sub Rosa? Originally Egyptian, but many of these traditions with the royals and the Masons are very, very heavily Egyptian. They really take a shining to Egypt. And the red rose, sub Rosa, is symbol to Horus, the divine child. And Horus is symbolized with his finger to his lips in the hieroglyphics. He's a little child with the finger to his lips because he knows the secret because he's a sub Rosa. For hundreds of years, the continent has always been, you know, war, and there's always been a lot of alchemy. There's always been a lot of espionage work, spying, secret agents, you know, and in the creation of British intelligence and a lot of the universities at the time, Shakespeare was also created. In a nutshell, Shakespeare is a creation made by a group of people, and they called themselves the Order of the Hidden Helmet. It was a handful of what they call the Oxford and Cambridge wits. They're very well-educated men. You know, they're creating a play for the Queen in public. The tradition comes from, you know, the Greek and Roman theatre. You know, back then, everyone was reading the classics after the Renaissance and Elizabethan times. And the Hidden Helmet is a reference to a Greco-Roman goddess. And that's Athena / Minerva. And legend has it, whoever wore her helmet would turn invisible. Shakespeare is a pseudonym. It's in the Shakespeares of the Greek and Roman, but Athena and Apollo. So we've got Athena again. And they say the Shakespeares shake their spears in the face of ignorance. And they were the satirists of the day, like what archetype they played in the theatre. Of government and, yeah, superiors. But yeah, Plato said, if you want to know about Athenian society, read the plays of Aristophanes. Francis Bacon held many ancient ruling Athenian class mentalities, such as he despised the workers. Was Shakespeare to not just inform us, educate us, bring us to a more sophisticated level culturally, and is it also to intimidate us and keep this class divide? Naturally, I find clues to modern-day cultural trendsetters. I found a club in Pall Mall. It's called the Athenian Club. Members include royalists, dukes, lords, colonialists, eugenicists, scientists, well-known authors, businessmen alike, Churchill, Cecil Rhodes, Darwin. There's many, there's a long list, but the ones that I'm interested in is Yeats, Dickens, and Arthur Conan Doyle. Oh, and as it happens, Jimmy Savile was in this club also. So who's Yeats? He was an Irish poet, but he was also an occultist. Part of the Golden Dawn with Aleister Crowley. There's a lot to say about Aleister Crowley, and that if he even actually existed at all. So yeah, Dickens was just a famous novelist, social critic. He lived at Tavistock House in Euston. And Tavistock House, he lived there before William Weldon, the officer of the arms in the Victorian times. But Tavistock House has a lot of history with cultural engineering work. and this whole play that I'm explaining. Outside Tavistock House, down Tavistock Square, was where the 7/7 bus bombing was. And 5 minutes north, you take a walk, and at Euston Station, very close around this Euston Station, you've got the Magic Circle there. The secret magic club. You go 5 minutes east, walk 5 minutes east, and you get to King's Cross Station, and you run into a pillar, and you can fuck off back to Hogwarts. The tie-in here with the eugenics and the colonialists and the like is how the Beatles, a creation of Tavistock and the Frankfurt School, they give you hints in the Magical Mystery Tour of Euston. Ravi Shankar's restaurant is round the corner from the Magic Circle, which is really quirky. And is it coincidence, these things? I tie it in with colonization because, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, they called it the British invasion of America. But what did they bring there? A total culture shock. They brought in, if you're aware of Aleister Crowley's work, the Aeon of Horus. Aleister Crowley's three muses, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But, he never existed. He's made up. For a few reasons, to enforce this cultural trend of, Dionysus and Venetian pan worship and all these it's also just a scare tactic, I feel. Because we know that the politicians are into NLP, and Aleister Crowley is just aristocracy. Aleister Crowley, aristocracy. Aleister Crowley, aristocracy. Aleister Crowley was an aristocrat. him being a fictional character, the story goes that he was an aristocrat. I think it's all just a, it's like a, the evil villain in a video game, and, you know, being scared of it, but then finding out at the end that it never existed, or you overcame the fear never existed, you know? We know the Order of the Garter is a medieval knighthood. The highest honorary knighthood that the royals have to offer. And the Orders of the Garter symbol is the George and the dragon. George is shaking his spear in the dragon's face. He's a Shakespeare. St. George Day is 23rd of April. Shakespeare Commemorance Day is also the 23rd of April. Is that a coincidence? Is it a coincidence? I'm getting the impression that these are more than coincidences. There are too many references pointing to the same symbol. It's only out of our ignorance that they rule. The Order of the Garter, their coat of arms is the arms of dominion. The royal coat of arms, you know, it's got the lion and the unicorn on it. And in medieval French, it is written, "Honi mal y pense." Shame on you who think evil of it. What are we going to do? Have a groovy party? Has anyone heard what's happening on the 7th to the 9th of June at the Grove in Watford? Passing Clouds has created a free festival. That weekend, bring your tent, they say. It's got music, arts and crafts, hippie food, all of the rest of the standard hippie cliche festival stuff. Oh, and David Icke and Alex Jones are going to be there to talk. This is real, by the way. This isn't a joke. I'm fascinated with what they're actually doing here. Call it transparency. For people that aren't into what information we're into, and, you know, there's only an awoken few, I feel. And most other people would just think, oh, it's just a festival, you know? To be honest, it blew my mind, and I still haven't let the dust settle yet. I've not. If anyone wants to call in and have a conversation about it, because it's still so new to me. I just found out about it yesterday, and it just totally changed my world. Interestingly, I see David Icke as the modern day Shakespeare. You know, if Shakespeare is the symbol of, you know, shame on you if you're ignorant, if you don't know what you're talking about, or if you're ignorant and you just go along with what David Icke's saying, and condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance. If you're not going to follow your research through, or whatever, it's going to be a harder lesson for you in the long run if you're going to be gullible. But this is David Icke, like the same with Aleister Crowley, aristocracy. David Icke, if you say his name fast, sounds like Davidic. Is he, you know, like, obviously, I was before trying to, you know, explain my concern with the guy, like, oh, I think he's not right. There's something a bit too professional about him. He's just a bit too professional. He's a creation of the BBC at the end of the day. He springboarded out of it, and he's just But yeah, I feel he is the modern day Shakespeare.
It's very interesting what you've been saying, Joel. When did you say that festival meeting in Watford is?
It's the 7th to the 9th of June.
Okay. It's a weekend.
It's on. It's when they're having their meeting. Ain't that wild? I've heard, you know, Passing Clouds has created it. So, you know, it's Common Purpose. If you've heard of Common Purpose.
Explain more.
G4S are doing the security there at the Free Festival. Common Purpose is this, like, new Labour, well, government-created social sort of... I was going to say social conditioning sort of... it is a bit bizarre, but they're kind of on these social shifter kind of agent institutes. Yeah. But yeah, they're setting up this festival, and it's proper like hippies hula hooping in the sunshine sort of festival. It's proper hippie chic. But you know, I feel the hippies will, you know, like bring a lot of calm. But David Icke and Alex Jones, they're real hotheads. And they're going to bring a lot of aggression, I think. Maybe, you know. It's just interesting what it's just so painfully obvious now. It is just a giant stage. Like, you know, David Icke and Alex Jones being there. Jeez, this is, you know, call it a setup, but I didn't see this coming. This is just incredible, literally incredible.
Interesting to see if there's lots of shouting and trying to get people to kill people.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the famous, like, oh, let them eat cake kind of line. In modern day, it's a real show of the times because they really are letting us eat cake. And it's like free vegan organic hippie cake at a free fucking hippie festival at the Bilderberg meeting. It's mental.
Sounds good to me. And it's free.
Yeah, I really want to go.
I haven't been to Watford for a while now. I think I'll have to go again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you going then, Joel?
Yeah, well, I wanted to go to Sunrise. Well, I can still do both. Yeah, fuck it, though.
Yeah, Sunrise has been good.
Yeah. Do you have any questions? Or, you know, so how much time do I have left?
You have 5 minutes.
Do you have any questions?
Questions? That's a good question. I just watch things as they unfold, really. I find that's usually the best answer. Are you going to Sunrise Festival to do anything specific? Or just a festival?
Yeah, just festival.
Isn't it May the 20th? It finishes before the other one, doesn't it?
It's May the 30th. This year.
Yeah. So you'd be able to go to both. You'd be able to go one, then the other.
Yeah. In all honesty, it's just blown my mind what they're doing at the Grove at the Bilderberg meeting. That's just completely blown my mind.
I've got a question, Joel. What do you know of David Cotterill?
Oh, I don't know him.
Not a lot, then.
Gee.
Never heard of him. No, but it was a question.
It's a very good question.
Maybe it's somebody we should know.
Maybe. Maybe someone that we shouldn't know.
Won't know until we look him up. Any ideas what he'll be talking about next week? No. Do you know anything about the eclipse? Is it on the 25th? Is it a lunar eclipse this time?
Yeah. Well, that's the next full moon. That's going to be in... No crumbs. It would be conjuncting the Pleiades, which sounds really cool. Like the star system, the Pleiades.
Yeah, is that the one that's about 15 that you can kind of see with the naked eye, but there's more in it?
Yeah, they call it the Seven Sisters.
Yeah, like Mini Plough.
I haven't heard that name before.
I just think it looks like a Mini Plough. The Plough, but a miniature.
Yeah, cool. Well, there's a lot of... quite malefic energy at the moment.
Oh, 1 minute. It wasn't David Cottrell. It'd be Maurice Cottrell. And he figured out the magnetic phases of the sun, which affect our DNA. That could be interesting to look into. We've got 30 seconds left. Anything you'd like to say or say goodbye?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for coming and talking, Joel. I always find it really, really interesting. And I'll speak to you next week.
Cool.
Things on Dark City Radio. Lots of things.